Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to open the pages of God's Word. We also ask you to view our TV program that comes on right after this broadcast at 8 a.m. to 8:30 on public access station number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also encourage you to our website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We would also invite you to our worship service and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we will give you those times at the end of this broadcast. We just want you to know that you will always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible. And we are in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4, and we are down to verse number 8. We see in verse 8, according to the scriptures, therefore he says, when he ascended on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who is descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. We see in this that he ascended from the earth to heaven and back again. We know that indeed is true. He was his birth. He came to the earth and left heaven. And then he ascended back according to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. We also see in the next few verses that he equipped some for different things in the church. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, and he did so for three things: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. We can see there in verse 12 that this is the work that God gave the church to do. Edifying is to build them up. To the work of the ministry is to teach and to preach the gospel. And then we equip the saints to be able to carry out that work and to do the work that God gave the church to do. Till we all come to a knowledge of the perfect stature of a full man in Christ. And so we can come to that unity of faith if we will accept the teachings that are contained in the truth. And verse 14, why? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wing of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. We need to no longer be tossed about by every wind of doctrine and deceitfulness of men. We must be grounded and firmly rooted in the truth. And we must speak that truth in love. We must not be haughty or arrogant. We can't be self-willed. We have to speak it in truth, but we have to speak it not just in love, but we must speak the truth. And we do so that we might grow up in all things to him, our head, and that's Christ. He is the head of the church. And according to verse 16, all of us have a part in that church, the whole body joined together. And every joint, every person does the work that God gave them to do with the ability and talents that they have. And by doing that, it causes growth of the whole body, and the whole body can be edified in and of itself. It can edify itself. It can build itself up spiritually if every part is doing the work that God gave it. Paul used this same illustration in his letter to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 25. Beginning in verse 17 through 22, he's going to talk about a change that must take place in the Christian. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. In this text, the word walk means manner of life. We should not walk as Gentiles. And what that means is that we should not walk as if we don't know God. And we should not walk in the futility of our mind, but we should walk according to what God has instructed us to do. How? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The Gentiles, and that just simply means represents one without God, has their understanding darkened. Why? Because they're alienated from the life of God and they're ignorant. And why are they ignorant? Because of the blindness of their heart. Because they will not be open-minded. They won't examine. They won't accept. And so their ignorance is ignorance that they have created in and of themselves. Willful ignorance. Not because it's not understandable, not because they can't grasp it, but because they are ignorant by choice. Who being in past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And so because of this ignorance, they have created very vile sins. They become very self-centered. They are greedy and they're past feeling. And they've given themselves over to uncleanness and to greediness. Why? Because their understanding is darkened because of the willful ignorance that they have. That's the way one lives outside of Christ. But now, according to verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. And so we have learned to do different. We have learned to be different. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus. You see, we won't have that darkening understanding and we won't have that futility of mind or the uncleanness and greediness and the lewdness of feeding the flesh if we have been taught by him as the truth that we can find in Christ. And how do we do that, ladies and gentlemen? Well, verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. We've got to put off that old man of sin. We've got to put him to death. We've got to make something take its place. When we lived in the world, when we lived according to the standards of the world and the teaching of the world, and we did the lust of the flesh, we were living in that old man of sin. But when we've come into Christ, we have to put that old man of sin aside because it's corrupt and it's deceitful. And we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We must change our thinking. And our thinking will cause our attitudes and our actions to change. That you may put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're going to put on a different type of character. We're going to put on a different type of attributes. We're going to live a different type of life. We're going to do that because now we are in Christ Jesus. And how does that demonstrate itself? How does this new man demonstrate itself in the world that we live in? This new man is created according to God's righteousness and pure holiness. And what it teaches us to do is therefore put away lying. Let each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. And so, this new man doesn't lie. We tell the truth. We always tell the truth. We never twist the truth. We never pervert the truth. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. This new man who's created in Christ, we're not to get angry that causes us to sin. It's not wrong to get angry, but it is if it causes us to sin. And if we have anger, we have to control it and we must make sure that we remedied it and do not let it build and grow and fester that it becomes sinful. Don't give place to the devil. When we get angry, we're giving an opportunity for the devil to lead us into sin. And verse 28 says that we should not steal any longer, but we should labor with our hands, working that which is good and honorable, that we might have something to give to those in need. Not only to take care of our own, but also have leftovers so we can help others. You see, it's not just stop the sin of stealing. He tells you what to replace it with. Don't steal anymore. Do honest labor. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. See, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. And all things that we say should be said in such a way that it edifies and builds people up, not tear them down. And so we're looking for ways that we can encourage people, that we can uplift them, we can edify them, and we don't do that if our communication that comes out of our mouth is corrupt. And we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with the day of redemption. How do we not seal the whole, how do we not grieve the Holy Spirit? By following his teaching. We're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit if we follow his teaching. How can we follow that teaching? We've got to put off evil. We have to put off bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, to put away from you all malice. Okay, so in verse 31, we're going to have to put off the evil speaking of one another. That's demonstrated with bitterness, with having wrath, with being angry, and clamor, that's backbiting, whispering, evil speaking. That's the man of sin. That's the old man of sin. And you've got to put that away. You've got to replace that with the new man that's created in Christ. And the new man created in Christ, according to verse 32, is kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Those who are in Christ, those who are a part of the new man, have to have this characteristic of kindness one to another. We are to be tenderhearted. We are to be sympathetic. We are to be compassionate. We are to be forgiving. We ought to be forgiving of one another. We will make mistakes. We will sin against one another, but we must be willing to forgive one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. He forgave us. We must be willing to forgive others. Jesus taught this truth in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 14 and 15, that if we're unwilling to forgive others, he will not forgive us. And so us receiving forgiveness of God is based upon and conditioned on our willingness to forgive others who sin against us. If we are unwilling to forgive those who belong to the Lord that sin against us, how can we expect God to forgive us when we sin against him? We must put on this character of the new man. It is very important that we understand that we have to change our life. We have to live by a different standard. We have to live by a different set of rules. We have a different code of conduct. Those who come to Christ must put off this old man of sin, the man of sin that was fashioned after the world, after sinful things that are contrary to God's will. And through the revelation of Christ, we have the knowledge that we need in order not to be ignorant, but to be knowledgeable of the attributes and the characteristics that we need to be developing in order to be the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. This is the example that we want to leave to those who observe us. We want them to see the change that has been made, that we have left the old man of sin, the way of the world, the way that is contrary to God, and we replaced it with the new man that is made in the image of Christ. And the image of Christ is seen in these characteristics that we adapt to our life. Ladies and gentlemen, have you laid aside the old man of sin? Maybe you obeyed God, but if you're still living like the world, you still have not released the old man of sin, and you have not created that new man in Christ Jesus. This brings us to the end of chapter number 4, and we will pick it up here next Lord's Day, looking at chapter 5. And we want to again thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning, and we also invite you to come and worship and study God's Word with us on this Lord's Day. Please come if you have the opportunity, and have a wonderful day.